Hi, I'm Eric.
I'm Alec.
We're the Pedgy Brothers.
And this is StoryTap,
where my brother and I try to tap the potential of a simple idea by turning it into a story.
This episode,
Maury. Step aside, Nightmare Before Christmas. There's a new animated Halloween classic in town.
Soul meets Coco meets Onward. Whole lot of Disney.
What, that one? That's why would we do that?
Then
sounds really
why
boring.
Did you suggest?
I mean, I wrote it down because I mean, like, that would be a fun exercise, but I don't think that would be fun to listen to at
okay,
all.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, that would be boring as hell. Then let's do spooky.
Then why do we even ask me? Let's be spooky.
Yeah,
what's your spooky
it's
idea?
Just, it's just that's the spooky one is the one I'm feeling the most. It just says better Disney Halloween movie, because right now the benchmark for Disney Halloween is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, we can do better than that.
Yeah, for real. And to be fair, there are people who might even be listening to this podcast who like that movie, but I mean,
yeah, but we don't want your respect, we want your money.
It's just too creepy and gross.
It's not for me.
Yeah. So, okay, I don't consider Coco a Halloween movie because that's, you know, Dia de los Muertos. But
that's true. And you don't watch it on Halloween. You watch it every night to feel something.
I don't.
Don't tell anybody.
So, what? So, okay. It's a Halloween movie. We are hired by Disney. And they say, make us a Halloween movie. And that's literally all we have to go on. And what would we decide right off the bat? Well, it's got to be, like, you know, fantastical, big spectacle. So, it's going to be animated. It's going to be a Halloween movie, so it's going to take place on Halloween. And that's like, those are the only two restrictions we are probably going to set on ourselves, you know?
Okay.
So what are you feeling?
I don't know. What is Halloween about? We've got monsters, witches, ghosts. I feel like the haunted house is a good option. I do know, you know, Disney is remaking the Haunted Mansion. They're making a Haunted Mansion movie because they didn't do a great job the first time, I assume. I don't know. I never watched the thing.
Yeah. I'm very fascinated by the lore of the Haunted Mansion.
That's understandable.
Apparently there is some, but it changes every time the ride changes. Anyway. Okay. Haunted House. And it's a Disney movie. So it's going to be, you know, not legitimately scary if, you know, not like, God, like, you know, children's movies that are genuinely scary or creepy, I think are some of the crappiest movies out there. And I probably shouldn't say that because I want to work in the movie industry, but, like, who cares? Like, if I'm offending anybody, I don't care. Coraline, I hate Coraline. I hate mixing child bewilderment and storylines that children can understand and mixing them with scary, creepy stuff that will either scare children away or, like, you know, scar them.
And give us more Tim Burtons.
All right, it's been about 4 minutes and we haven't come up with anything.
All we've done is make enemies.
Yeah. So we're coming up with a haunted house or a haunted mansion. So the story is going to revolve around a location. And it is haunted for a reason. Oh, no. You can tell I've hit a serious roadblock in my thinking when I talk like that.
It's haunted for a reason. What? Why are buildings haunted?
Okay.
Because people die there. Because people have horrid experiences there.
But you see, that's more a link to the real and the creepy, rather than, you know, when things are haunted for a reason that makes sense, air quotes, makes sense, that's, you know, explaining things that, like, kids either won't understand or won't care about. So we gotta, you know, like in Coco, it wasn't like, they didn't take death to, you know, the spirits were vibing, you know?
Mm.
Death, I feel like, should be wildly reassessed in how we approach it when it comes to, no, not just kids media, but most media. But we're talking about kids media. So, okay, how about some sort of, maybe it can be haunted. It's a haunted mansion. You
okay.
have an idea.
Okay, hang on. Yes, I do have an idea. I think that there's potential in this idea of, like, a child having a parent who's passed away and they've developed a fascination with the macabre to try and feel closer to their parent who is no longer alive.
Okay.
Like, ghosts. My dad's a ghost.
Okay.
That's what
does
leads
he
us.
Does he act, does he successfully talk to his ghost dad?
No.
Oh, okay, so he's just a bummer to be around.
Yeah.
This is the main character?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. Okay. So they're like, I mean, they've moved to this new town, and these other kids tell him about the haunted house over at the edge of town. And it's like, this house is so haunted. And he's like, yeah, I'm creepy because I'm going through something.
Okay, okay.
So I want to go see. I have, like, a weird fear and fascination with death that I don't understand because I'm a child. And I'm going to go to the haunted house and I'm going to spend the night there. And what happens? Does he find an ancient scroll of summoning? No, that's too Evil Dead. He only meets a ghost. I mean,
yeah, maybe he sees the house as like a, I don't know if conduit is the word, but conduit between, you know, the living world and the dead world. And maybe that's what it is, but he goes there expecting to, you know, seance, revive his dad, or, you know, we don't have to commit to dad right away, but, or, you know, some sort of figure that passed and is now dead. And he's like, I'm gonna, yeah, okay. So he becomes upset, not obsessed, but he gets the idea in his head, I want to revive this dead person that I care about. And he goes to the house expecting to do a seance and bring them back. And maybe instead, okay, we have a fork in the road right here. One, he pulls off the seance and he brings a ghost into the living world that is not his dad, because that would be too quick of a resolution. Or maybe it's part of his dad, ergo Onward. You remember the Disney movie Onward.
I do remember the Disney movie Onward. I was waiting for us to compare it to Onward.
There we go.
I think
Third fork in the road, sorry, because I just came up with that one. Third, he brings himself into the ghost world without being dead, but then it just becomes Coco.
Okay, so. Yeah. Well, then I think that just to differentiate our idea from those other two ideas, and because I feel like it's a little more in line with what we're trying to do here, is that he brings the wrong ghost. He brings some other ghost.
Ooh, yeah, someone, wherever, however his dad passed, like, you know, that's irrelevant, because since he did it in this, like, haunted mansion, and I keep on calling it, we'll just call it haunted mansion for a little bit. Well, haunted house, because I don't want lawyers attacking me.
Spectered condo.
this haunted house.
We'll call it a hundo.
So this haunted house. So, because he did the seance, I don't want to call it a seance, it has, like, demonic insinuations. Because he pulled off this weird ritual, better, in this haunted house, someone who, like, died in this house, or, you know, owned this house, or whatever, someone tied to this specific house is brought back. And then they've got to have some sort of unfinished business as well. You know, being brought back into the human world was unexpected, but they're like, well, I'm here. Maybe I can do something while I help you out with your, you know, unresolved ghost dad problem.
Okay.
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 And I do want to bring in some Coco vibes, because it's a Halloween movie, and we need some sort of, you know, big spectacle glow in the dark something or other. You know? I need a reason for this to be animated, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I was going for was he can travel between the land of the living and the land of the dead.
Yeah.
Maybe not at will, but maybe that's some sort of plot device we can come up with.
Okay. I like that. I think that, and I've seen this done before, and it's been done very well before, and I think that it's not like a ripoff for us to do it, is the idea of having a... the idea of having a shadow world, but a little more shadowy. Like, you can't quite see what's going on in the real world in this ghost world. Like, you can see reflections of it, and you can see, like, stuff happening sometimes, but for the most part, it's murky.
Yeah, okay. And we can throw in just a little, you know, little gimmick here. It's kind of a joke, but maybe it's also, maybe it's another plot device. How, you know, the ghost brings up, like, hey, have you ever, like, you know, lost something that you knew you put somewhere? And the kid's like, yeah. It's like that because, you left your keys on a counter or whatever, then, like, a ghost happened to leave his keys on that same counter in the ghost world. So when he moved his, he also moved yours, you know?
I actually really like that. That's fun.
And so if you had been there when he moved his keys, you would see them just, like, move a little bit, maybe fall on the ground kind of thing. Okay, so what is either of their unfinished business? We should really nail down some sort of character story before we move on with some bigger plot thing. Main character, Boyo, wants to revive his dad, and then we can have some sort of message. Well, I was going to say the message should ultimately be, like, death is natural and you should be okay with that. Well, that's pretty heavy.
That's pretty heavy.
Because, you know, Coco wasn't about that, and I'm drawing on Coco again. Gosh, that movie's good.
It's a really good movie. I don't know. I feel like we could try to pull off that message. That's pretty good. Is that I think that there's something to be said for the idea of, like, the understanding that he comes to at the end is that his dad doesn't have any unfinished business. His dad has moved on.
Ooh, that could be good.
Like, his dad is, like, his dad is really, for real, gone.
Like, he's not in the ghost world.
Yeah. Like, he's that, like, dead, his dad, dead. His dad, and that we find out that his dad has, like, seen him grow up in some way from this shadow world, and that was enough for him. That was enough for him to keep going into the next world.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out how we can make that the message without it also becoming a bummer, you know? Because, like, for the kid to have closure with, you know... Well, okay, well, we can just sort of fix it by not making it his dad, you know? Because, like, a dead dad, that's just a bummer from the get-go, you know? And there's issues with representation. It's like, well, no, you can... It's not a bummer for someone to grow up without a father all the time. It's like, yeah, but we're making a movie about a dude missing his dead dad. That's a huge bummer from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe instead of just it being someone so important in his life as his dad, it could be either, like, an older sibling. That would also be a huge bummer.
Yeah, that's pretty dark.
Yeah. Like, his hero? Like, Ernesto de la Cruz? You know, like, some sort of celebrity type of thing. That, or, like, maybe it was, like, a mentor-student kind of situation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, you know, he, like, met his idol once, and then he, like, fascinated. I got a little ahead of myself. He met his idol once, and the idol was like, yeah, you're pretty cool, kid. Yeah, okay, I'm starting to vibe with this. He met him, and he said, you're pretty cool, kid. Keep working on whatever that skill you're displaying is, and then we'll meet up again someday. You know, like, hit me up when you're, you know, this good. And so the kid gets in it. He gets the idea in his head, like, oh, my idol is waiting for me. And then when the idol passes away, he's like, oh, I didn't get good at the thing fast enough. And now he is that good, and maybe it's magic. Who knows? And he's like, now that I am that good, that my idol has unfinished business. You know, I owe it to him to bring him back. And I have unfinished business because I have to catch up with him. And he's like my, you know, my idol. And so when he sees that his idol did move on to that next life, you know, he's done with even the ghost world. The kid has to come to terms with, oh, he wasn't just like my mentor. He was a celebrity. You know, he's talked to a bunch of kids like that. He didn't have unfinished business with me because I didn't catch up fast enough. That was what he did. He inspired people, you know? And he was like, dang, I inspired a lot of people while I was alive. I'm going to move on. Whoosh.
Okay. All right.
Okay, this is becoming wholesome by a minute.
I got a counter offer.
Okay.
I got a counter offer for the central concept of this movie. We make it, instead of a celebrity or a parent, we make it like a grandparent or an uncle or aunt or something that this kid was really close to. And that the thing that allows them to pass on is that they see this kid make a friend, and it's the friend that they make who is into witchy macabre stuff, who knows how to, like, hey, I know this ritual, and if we use this, we can talk to your uncle and you can see him again. But ultimately what allowed them to pass on, what allows his uncle, I'm going to just say uncle for now, to pass on, is the understanding that he has a friend and he knows how to be close with other people and he's going to be okay.
All right. Okay.
I like both of those ideas, but you, viewer, get to decide which one we choose. Vote now on your phones.
Do you prefer your idea over mine? And be honest.
No, I just thought it would be a disservice for me to not express my ideas. My therapist says that I'll never be happy if I don't express my own opinions.
Do you prefer your idea over mine?
I want to keep the friend. I think the friend is a good touch.
Okay.
You
want to keep the friend.
Oh, wait. I got it. The friend is the one who has the witchy stuff. The friend does have a parent who's passed away.
Ooh.
So they have this more legitimate fueling reason. It's why she's developed, I'm going to say she, because it also just seems like a more of a thing that young girls become interested in. You know, the macabre and witchy stuff. I don't even know if that's true. Let's look at my internal biases later, though.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. That's my next podcast. It's not going to be fun.
Okay, but now we get to keep both. Now
yeah.
We got the celebrity thing. And, you know, oh, wait, this is really good. Because the main character kid, I was just going with he, because subconsciously I'm a dude.
Yeah, but no, I really like that. This kid, and I think that's as they navigate this ghost world with this ghost that they've met, they come to the realization that their hero and their parent have moved on for entirely separate reasons.
Yeah,
because this girl's father has seen that she's made a friend, that she has someone in her life, and she knows how to be close to people, and that she's going to be okay and have a good life, and that is enough for him to move on. And this boy, recognizing that he doesn't have a unique relationship with this hero of his, he is a fan, and he was inspired by this guy because that's what this guy did. He inspired people to do things and to love things, and that's really, that's just a good idea. We've got this together. This is a concept.
This is dope.
So I think we've sort of pinned down who these two are deuteragonists, but who is our Virgil to their Dante? Who is our ghosty ghost boy?
Yeah.
And what does he learn through all of this?
Yeah, we got some good broad strokes, but yeah. You're right.
Yeah, but he needs to be someone. I think there's a lot of different ways we can take that. Who is he that takes them through this ghost world, and what does he learn? Is he somebody who died a long time ago?
He's gotta have some sort of unfinished business because he is...
A ghost.
Damn, okay. Should it have something to do with the house? We put a lot of importance on the house, the haunted house at the beginning. Should we still... Okay, well, there might be something that, like, the ghost dude's unfinished business is tied to the house somehow, and I don't know why my brain just went to Princess and the Frog, but, like, you know, the house was, like, some sort of unfinished venue, and I thought Princess and the Frog because restaurant, but what could be there, oh, no, okay, I was going to say the uncle... father figure of our deuteragonist, you know, goes away because the deuteragonist makes a friend, and I was like, oh, but he could make friends with the ghost, and I'm like, oh no, that's just, you know, reiterating the same point again. I feel like we've got some really solid plot lines going, but they're kind of competing against each other for our attention, you know. We'll come up with Virgil, Ghost Virgil's unfinished business, but what we should come up with first to sort of inspire what's best for our Ghost Virgil is the obstacle. You know, there's not really anything in anybody's way yet, you know? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we have personal issues that, that drive characters, but we don't really have, like, the macro stuff that drives story.
Yeah, the external.
And ties all that stuff together.
Right. We got where we start, we got where we go, but we don't know how we get there.
Well, I think that the most logical step is to find the villain of this film. And the villain will, of course, be the villain of real life, real estate developers.
The man in the suit at the beginning of Up.
That guy. That was the devil.
I thought it was Russell's dad.
That would have been quite a twist.
Because, you know, he was...
very twisty.
He was all business all the time. Mm. And then Russell was like, yeah, my dad is... Anyway. Alright. Okay. Let's come up with some... We'll just go from start to finish. We'll go chronologically through... not exactly scene by scene, but pretty much scene by scene. Because that'll take us about 5 minutes, and that'll tie us over to the commercial break. So, once we get to the midpoint, I mean... So the beginning. I had nothing to say. So the beginning. Long pause. We have our main character, who I'm just going to call Dante for now. We have Dante, who... What is the thing that his idol sort of inspired him to get better at? I was just thinking magic.
Like, I don't know why you thought magic, but I was also thinking magic.
Like, I was thinking, like, on-stage close-up magic, magic tricks, grandeur stuff.
I mean, it's very much, like, evocative of Houdini.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Houdini did not believe in mysticism at all, but he was like, and, you know, last minute, because he's about to croak, he said, is like, hold the seance every year on this day.
Who?
Just Houdini.
Houdini said that?
Yeah.
Houdini what?
Was like, he told his wife to hold a seance every year on this day to see if he could reach back out.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
What a weirdo.
And then, like, after a decade, they were like, ain't happening.
Oh gosh.
And if I got that wrong, don't tell me. I'm fine with being wrong about that. But anyway, we can have that, is that this guy, this great magician, died, and this kid, who is such a fan, knows that he was into this, like, otherworldly mysticism stuff, and
without about, being demonic.
Without being demonic.
Because I hate that.
Like, I don't love that. But no, he was into, like, he believed that you could communicate with the other side. And he's like, and the ley lines, because that's a mysticism buzzword that I've learned from YA novels.
Ley lines.
There are ley lines going across the, and when they intersect, they mean something. The ley lines intersect at this house, and people have said it was haunted for years. I guess his friend tells him that. Like, they're both fans of this guy for entirely separate reasons.
Okay. Damn, I'm doing it again.
He's doing it again.
The friend...
Uh-huh.
...is really into science. We've got science and magic. And the friend is like, I got unfinished business. Oh, that's not how he would phrase it. But, you know, he's like, I really miss my uncle. And I gotta, you know, vibe with him one last time or whatever. And I'm trying to get there the science way. But now I see you, you know, like, you're new in town and I saw you pull a little something with magic and I realized now that's what it's been missing is the magic spirit approach, you know?
Yes.
So the macabre science friend reaches out and he's like, ah, and he's, you know, got a fascination with death in a very, like, biological perspective. And then he reaches out and he's like, let's do what? We need a new word for seance. We'll come up with that later. He's like, let's do this seance type thing. And then they do it at, like, the science dude is like, I've been trying to find the right location to do it. And I've just been doing it all over town and it hasn't been working. And then, like, the, you know, the main character kid is like, well, how about over there? And he's like, there's a bunch of spiritual energy vibing over there. And he points at the house and he's like, ah, a sort of haunted house vibe. Right. Okay. So that's how we get to them, which I suppose would be the inciting incident, is summoning Mr. Ghost.
Okay. Okay, so this science kid can have this device that she's built, which is like a radio, which is supposed to pick up residual psychic energy, what you would call a ghost.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. It's designed to do that, to pick up signs from the other side, sounds from the other side, to communicate with them. And then something happens that pushes a ghost out of the radio.
Ooh, okay. I dig that. So now we're at the inciting incident still of Mr. Ghost. Comes out of our weird little radio that maybe he tweaks a little bit, and that becomes the thing that lets us swap back and forth between real world and, you know, the world that looks like Frodo when he wore the ring. It's just all shadowy and misty.
That's plenty scary enough for this kid's movie, yeah.
Yeah. And now we're back to what is the sort of opposition? Okay, maybe the opposition that is, you know, not necessarily intentionally preventing Dante and Virgil and Mr. Ghost, or Dante, Deuteragonist, and Mr. Ghost from accomplishing their goals, but what they, it's mutually exclusive. And what is always the safe bet, which is kind of lame, but we can go with it if we end up vibing with it, is, you know, like the authorities that are in charge of making sure humans stay in the human world, ghosts stay in the ghost world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of... I mean, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty fine with that. That kind of works.
So yeah, we just passed the 30 minutes, but we can edit out a little bit. We really should get to the midpoint somehow. You know, the midpoint is the thing that we thought we were going one place, but we learned something, and now we've got to go somewhere else. You know, our goal lies elsewhere, somewhere besides where we thought. You dig?
Yes. All right. So, I mean, this goal that we thought we've been after is to talk to these people who are on the other side again.
Hmm.
Where are we going? instead.
I'm worried it's becoming Coco.
Everything's Coco. Everything is actually Coco.
Go for it.
Look for the signs. I think that, again, I'm blaming real estate developers. Wretched people that they are. I'm just making enemies, but they're really specific.
Okay.
So far, it's Tim Burton fans and real estate developers.
Okay.
Okay. So, real estate developers are going to tear down this building and build something new. I don't know why. Ooh. I imagine it as a hotel. This the ghost, his family owned the hotel, and business sort of all went elsewhere, and he never moved on, and that's his unfinished business. His unfinished business is that he can't move on from this place of the past. And there's this time frame that's sort of in place. The hotel is about to be torn down, so the kids have to go in because, like, the psychic energy is in the hotel. It's like, supposedly it's a haunted place. My uncle used to take me here all the time for to the restaurant, and whenever what's his name, the magician, was in town, he stayed here.
Okay, I'm vibing.
They'll be here,
but before we make it a hotel specifically, it should just be, you know, his. Well, what I'm getting at is at the end, when they come back to the real world, the sort of denouement, everyone, where are they now, happily ever after deal, is they've turned the venue, the building, they like buy it, so it doesn't get torn down, and that way you have Mr. Ghost's unfinished businesses finished, because it's not going to get torn down. That's all he really cared about. They turn it into, like, I don't know what could lie halfway between biology, sciences, and magic. So I was thinking, like, museum? You know what I mean? And then part, like, one of the attractions is ghosts. They bring someone through every once in a while, and they're like, isn't this sick? Science is dope.
I do like that. A museum of the study of the supernatural.
All right, now, okay. We should, we'll think a little bit more on it. Basically, what we normally do is we come up with the first half and the midpoint, and then we stop, and then we come up with the end after the break. What we've done now is we've come up with the beginning and the end. We'll come up with the midpoint after the break. Sound good?
Works for me.
Cool. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Back.
We came up with a title for the movie, Mori, M-O-R-I, as in Memento Mori, as in, you know, death is inevitable and all that, very deep. The names of the protagonists are, the main guy is Dante, because Dante went to the afterlife and came back by way of general mysticism and magic. And, remind me, the deuteragonist's name?
I didn't remember that part. Lucy? Lucia? Lucy?
Yeah, Lucy, after Luigi Galvani's wife. Luigi Galvani was, like, all about death and not real resurrection.
Well, the nervous system.
It kind of works.
It kind of works.
It works enough. So, where were we?
That one's a bit of a reach. Yeah. And, Eric, we've forgotten a key point, is that Mori is the name of the ghost.
Oh, yeah.
We've chosen that as the name of the ghost. It's spelled M-O-R-I. Don't look too close at it.
Yeah. Mori, not Mori as in the show.
Not Povich.
Yeah, anyway, it works out.
It does, it works.
So we still have to come up with a midpoint, which is kind of hard because we have three plot lines going on. We have Dante trying to chase after his idol, Houdini-type guy. We have Lucy trying to just reconnect with an uncle or passed away older family member, which is pretty easy because we've already established that we'll make it an uncle. Her uncle is already like, my unfinished business was, I was afraid you would never make any friends because you're into macabre stuff and you're weird. But you've already made two friends here. And once you know how to make one, you can hypothetically make infinite friends type of thing. So, and, yeah, we talked about this while we were on break, which we shouldn't do, but we came up with a new plot point. Mori, his building, whatever we end up going with, it was like the family business building, and it failed while he was in charge of it, and before he could, you know, get the money together to, like, revitalize the business or whatever. He did passed away. So, you know, that's his unfinished business. But at the end of the movie, like, the building, the whole moral of the story is, like, things are inevitable and you must move on. So, like, the building does get bulldozed, you know, whatever. Some, the building is demolished or whatever. And Maury, like, moves on. He's past it. So he, you know, goes away.
Yeah.
So those are the two sort of, like, supporting plot lines played out. I feel like the impetus, whatever external force that pushes our protagonists forward and play forces the story to play out should be that A plot featuring Dante. You know?
Yes.
And what comes to mind first, but not isn't necessarily the best because I know it's not good and won't work, is just copying and pasting from Coco again, the ghost of the Houdini. I'm just going to call him Houdini. No, that wouldn't work. The Chris Angel Houdini ghost is going to put on a show in the ghost world. And, you know, we have to make it there because that way we know that's the only place we know he's going to be. But, like, that doesn't work because the Houdini type has already moved on, you know? So that could be, like, the midpoint twist. Maybe... Okay. The Houdini type is, like, a recluse, even in... He was a recluse, kind of... Oh, no, that wouldn't make sense for him to be a recluse if his purpose was to inspire people. But he's a recluse in the ghost world. So people are like, oh, yeah, I'm a huge fan of his. He hasn't put on a show for 10 years or whatever. But we know he's locked in his mansion over wherever. And, okay, yeah, this is good. So that device that Lucy has can let you go back and forth between the ghost world and the real world, but it has a recharge time. We'll come up with some sort of plot device to keep that from being overpowered. We managed to make it to ghost world Houdini's house, and we find out he's gone because he, you know, moved on, he passed. And so it's like, oh, okay, but, like, he was a ghost. He stuck around for a little while. He must have had unfinished business, right? And then Dante, the protagonist, is a little bit in denial. And he's like, no, I have unfinished business, so he must have had unfinished business. Why did he go away? And in, like, a huff, he uses the device to go back, pew, to the human world, but he leaves Lucy and Maury in the ghost world. So they're like, oh, no, I feel a little bit betrayed by that. But, like, he has to have a moment alone to work stuff out. And then... because he switched back to the human world while in Houdini's, like, mansion, he's now in the real world Houdini's mansion, and then he finds some sort of something. I always fall back on VHS tapes left behind by somebody that are, like, that change your perspective of them after they're dead. So he finds not actual VHS tapes, metaphorical VHS tapes.
A bunch of weird video of Houdini's dead wife. That looks like it was planned. No, never mind. I just hadn't spoken in a while.
But Houdini, like, you know, left something behind. Maybe it's a journal. Maybe it's some sort of audiovisual thing. But he, like, says, no, I mean, someone brings up, like, the ghost world. And, like, ooh, what are you going to do? And he's like, no, I'm going straight to heaven, man. I've inspired so many people. And isn't that what being a magician is all about, kind of thing, you know? Like, Houdini died, well, not the real Houdini, the Houdini-type guy character died already, like, all business finished, you know? And then the kid sees that, and he's like, oh, man. And that's sort of the midpoint, is, like, what all people should do is inspire and help others. So, and he looks at the device, and he's like, yeah, I gotta go back and help those guys out, and then slam, pew, now we're back here. Sound good?
Yes.
Any notes? Did you not like anything?
I thought it was all fine.
This is a collaboration back and forth.
I don't have any better ideas.
Okay, word. So, we also talked about this during the break, because we had to work out a little bit more, because we were a little behind. The opposition. There are ghost officers who make sure that humans don't come into the ghost world. And then there are essentially Ghostbusters in the real world.
I do love that. And it makes for like a strongly functioning comedic B-plot, having these people that are actually like an underfunded government agency sitting outside of the house where these kids are, pointing like a weird, silly little meter at it.
Yeah.
And then when they, you know, when these kids summon a ghost, it like explodes.
This is good.
Yeah. And that there's, you know, these two interdimensional agencies have no interest in collaborating with each other.
Yeah, they've got like a, you know, I don't think government agencies are actually like that. But in movies and TV shows, you know, what comes to the mind is The Guardian, where like the Coast Guard and the Navy like absolutely hate each other. The Navy are like, oh, y'all are punks, y'all are losers, and like I really doubt that the Navy is like, I'm a Coast Guardsman, I'm here to save you. Oh, I'm sure you are. It's like, dude, your legs are off and you're drowning. He's like, oh, you're a bitch because you're Coast Guard. Like, I doubt that's how it actually is, but you see that all the time in movies and stuff. So that's sort of what I got going on, what we've got going on, or that's what I was thinking with, you know, Ghostbusters versus Ghost Border Patrol. We've got Border Patrol on both sides who refuse to talk to each other.
Excuse me, sir, are you dead? Then you'd better stay out of here.
And that can be like the ticking clock. They're both sides. The longer we spend in either world, ghost or real, they're slowly locking on to the device, you know? So they're like, oh, we've got to like hop back and forth. And we've only got a set amount of time we can be in either world before they find us. So that's a really great midpoint of we find the main character, the main-ist character. That kind of might leave a bit too much open, though. I mean, I guess it still works. It's just that whoever you call the protagonist when their unfinished business is finished, that's what you usually consider like the end of the movie. So, well, no, it still works because the protagonist's unfinished business becomes Lucy's unfinished business and Maury's unfinished business, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm just really interested in how pale my legs are, but that's not your problem. Yet.
Hmm. I like monopolizing conversation.
We hadn't noticed. All right, so, I mean, what have we got left to do here? What are the little silly song and dance do we have to do, huh, to finish up this story? I feel like we haven't really nailed down the fun and games of it.
Yeah, that's what I
mean,
I was
like,
gonna say.
I mean, we've talked about it, but basically our understanding is that they go to the ghost world, and then we assume some stuff happens, and then they learn lessons and things. But, like, yeah, you know, more stuff needs to happen there in the shadow of our world. In the space where the deceased move.
There needs to be a talent show of sorts where he sings Un Poco Loco.
Stop it. That was a great song, though. It doesn't get enough love.
That song was dope. All those songs were dope. Disney is still nailing it. Mostly. You know... Okay, well, we'll come up with fun and games, but I gotta say, there needs to be a new Goofy movie. And I'm okay with it being CG.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would be fine.
Let's go with that.
So the fun and games of Maury...
I really want to watch Coco.
Me too.
Yeah.
So the fun and games of Maury, they need to lead to, you know, the Houdini type's house somehow, which would be pretty hard... because he's gone and has been gone, so he's not really around generating interest, you know. Oh, dang. There could be something there in that, you know, Houdini type arrived, and everybody like went berserk because they were like, oh, now he's gonna do shows in the ghost world. And then he just immediately went to his mansion, and he's been cooking up a good idea ever since. But actually, he's just gone, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I really like that. Yeah. So it's all trying to get there to see your hero.
So it goes, you know, it's just a little bit of a, not a twist, but a shift in perspective from, oh, we need, like, tickets to that performance, or we need to, like, get an audience with, we need to earn an audience with him, to Dante just saying, oh, I'm going to sneak in. I'm going to break in, and I'm going to say hi to him and just let him know, because I want to get out of here, maybe.
Mm. I mean, I do kind of like that. It all kind of works.
Yeah. That could... I mean, that's probably good enough as it is, coming up with, like, some sort of, you know, fun and games of Dante in the ghost... going from ghost world to human world, gathering resources and tricks and stuff to put together a dope magic show that he feels like would earn him an audience. Mm-hmm. And then when he does it and nothing happens, yeah, that's pretty good. Where there's, like, maybe there's a camera out front, and, you know, the ghost residents have gotten it in their head that if you do something impressive enough, Houdini type will have to, like, address you, you know? But actually, it's just, like, a security cam to make sure nobody bothers him, you know?
Yes.
Okay. Like, and then he does it, it doesn't work, and he's in a huff, and he's so mad, and he breaks in, sneaks in or whatever, and then, you know, he's passed on. And then we have that story beat of him coming to terms with that. Going back to help Lucy and Maury. And maybe while he does that, Lucy and Maury have, like, gone off, split off to do their own thing.
Yeah. Scientists, a lot of scientists stay in the ghost world for a long time to check out stuff. To, yeah, like, understand the reality behind it. They just hang out all day and do experiments. And yeah, so she goes to visit those guys, and she gets hype, and she helps them out with some experiments, and they tell her that her uncle's not here anymore. He used to stop by and do some stuff, but he was always watching you. And he went one day and found out you'd made a friend. And he said he was ready to leave.
Yeah, that's dope. But I do think there should be that moment where she, like, comes face to face. And, you know, because rather than, like, some ghost scientists telling her about it, it's himself saying, like, well, now I'm moving on. And she's like, no, I have the device. You can come back with me. And he's like, whoa, kiddo. I will not defy God, the correct God. And then we, like, and then we pick a hill to die on, and we say, exactly, like gets up, I'm not gonna do Yahweh like that. And so he's pulls, like,
out the Catholic catechism, and also for some reason a Kabbalah bracelet.
He's like, y'all almost got it, and you were half right in two departments. And he says, like, no, this is, you know, the way of life, and ironically death, where, like, I am moving on now. I had unfinished business, but you have made friends. I was worried about you and your macabre weirdo thing. I was worried about you being lonely, but you've made friends, so here I go. Psh, bye. And the reason she doesn't find him immediately is because she's looking for places where her uncle would go. But now that he knows that she has come to the ghost world somehow, he's like, oh, I'm going to go to the scientist convention because I know she'll go there. And she sees that. She's like, I really want to go there, but I have to find my uncle first. You know, so they're like...
Yeah, I like that.
Incidentally, avoiding each other. And so we have Maury, who's doing all of this, who's, like, helping them out in hopes that when Dante and Lucy go back to the real world, they will sort of repay him by saving the building. But... after Dante comes back from the Houdini type's mansion and he gives them the speech that Houdini type gave him, essentially, is, yeah, it's, you've got to do good and inspire people and just do good things and be there for people. And then, you know, Houdini or Maury's, like, building is being torn down when Lucy has that talk with her uncle, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I dig it. So that way he's like, you know, they get back and they're like, no, we just missed it. Maury, I'm so sorry. And then he's like, at the end of the day, it's just a building. And then, you know, he fizzles out and moves on. And then we have like a sort of denouement wrap up where everybody's happy. And, you know, Lucy makes all sorts of friends at school, mm-hmm. even though she's macabre and weird. Yeah. And Dante's, you know, does magic still. And they're, you know, young.
Yeah.
Like, I want to clarify, these are like pre-teens because it's a kids movie.
Yeah.
After all.
They're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. The end?
The end.
The end. Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, let us know by leaving a review on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps a ton. Also, make sure to check out the podcast Story Break by Rocket Jump. It's a lot like what we do, just more professional. Thanks again.